If you believe God for a miracle, and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
I believe God for a miracle.
I asked this question to the congregation. I did a quick little survey. I said, how many wives were trained to be a wife before you became a wife? And there were a lot of people that raised their hand and said they were married, but no one raised their hand to say they had been trained. So you really married someone without knowing what a man was. And then I did the same thing for the men, and it was the same response. A lot of people are in relationships. A lot of people are married, but you don't know what a woman is. And so the result of that is a hellish existence. The most significant relationships that you have outside of God are marriage and parenting. And yet they're the ones that have the most ignorance. No one teaches us how to be a parent. You learn as you go, and that's why so many children are dysfunctional and abused, because we don't know what to do. So what that makes us do is to revert back to how we were trained. And then we wind up perpetuating the stereotypes. We wind up mistreating our children because we were mistreated. My philosophy is the people in your present suffer from the people in your past. And because when the offense happens, you don't have the ability to fight back at the time of the abuse or the problem. And so you store it. Especially Christians. Christians disassociate themselves. They use a myriad of scriptures to get them through. And I believe God and the Lord's going to help me and all of those other little catchphrases that we mastered in our Christian evolution. And the problem is that actions become part of your unconscious life. Your unconscious life. There's a difference between your consciousness. Your consciousness is what you're aware of, what you're doing. Like right now, I'm in your consciousness. You're aware of me talking. You're aware of me imparting these passages that I'm going to impart. But you only use 3% of your brain for consciousness. There is unconscious and subconscious beyond the consciousness. And while I'm preaching to your conscience, it is your unconscious that the seed needs to affect. It seldom does. And that's why we walk out of church falling back into the same patterns of behavior, because the part of us that must change behavioral patterns is often ignored, especially amongst Pentecostals. We don't like accountability. We don't like to confront the harsh issues that have brought us to places of despair. This is why Jesus said, if you think your brother has aught against you, go immediately. Why? He's trying to suggest that it should not become part of your unconscious. Because once it's become a part of your unconscious, it will be an action. Actions, 98% of the time, actions are things that you just do by impulse. We don't think about some things. Some things we just do. Why? Because of a repetitive lifestyle. We just do things because it's normal for us. When someone brings change, we resist the change because change is uncomfortable. But I suggest to you that change is the essence of Christianity. God did not save us to leave us where we are. God saved us to take us someplace different. I spoke about this morning and said when God pulled the children of Israel out of Egypt, he had a definite destination, the land of the Hivites, the Hittites, the Jebusites. But he understood that between the Exodus, between the leaving from Egypt and the entering into the promised land over in Joshua, he needed to have some therapy with his children. Number one, they needed to change their view about God. I am sure that in 400 years of bondage, the existential why would come to the mind. Why is God allowing me to go through this? Why is he allowing this to happen? Why doesn't he move these people? Why is he still letting folks who despise me rise above me? When the why is pushed out of your reality, God can move you to the what. The what is, what does he want to do with me? What is he trying to do in me? What plan does he have for me? And when you submit to the what, your life will get better. It's not why, but it's what. And so when we look at Deuteronomy, when he recites this same passage, he says, you've been here long enough. And that's our theme for this entire year. We've been where we've been. Long enough. You've been in emotional despair, and the people that God places in your life, you are driving them away because of previous hindrances. You go to God and say, God, you know, I want to be loved. I want to be cared for. I want to feel complete with someone. And there's someone there, and then bad stuff from the past that's lodged in those two unconscious areas drives that person away, and you're doomed to be alone. Even your worship suffers because you haven't been healed. Do you understand that many of us are killing our own futures by bringing a negative past, and we're not freeing ourselves because we've been programmed to hold on to the bad? Even ministries play to the bad. Come to the conference and get healed. No, you don't come to the conference to get healed. God is omniscient. He knows everything. He's omnipotent. He has all the power. It's all his. He's omnipresent. So that means he was right there when the negative stuff was happening. Once again, why? Not why, what? If he can program us, reprogram us to the what, our lives could be richer. The why creates pride. Because we only ask him why when it's negative. We don't ask why if somebody walks up and gives you $500. You don't say, God, why is this? You just go, thank you, Jesus. But until you can say, thank you, Jesus, for the negative, what you're telling God is something in your unconscious is causing you to miss the right now. It is the right now that God lives for, if I can use that term. Your past is for you. The future is for God. The right now is what he makes out of your past for your future. He knows where he's taking you. Therefore, what you've gone through is part of the mixture for where you are, so he can get you where you need to be. In Mark's gospel, Jesus teaches this parable about the sower and the seed. And I just want to call your attention to the essence of this particular thing. In verse chapter 4, verse 15, he says, and these are they that are sown by the wayside. When the word is sown, when they have heard, Satan comes when? Immediately. All right. Now, we used to think that that meant that the devil came right away to take it. But now a careful understanding of the passage means that after you hear the word of God, Satan brings back your past to make you question God. So that the joy that the Lord wants to bring you now is impeded by something in your past. Then you go through guilt, condemnation, shame, blame, and can't quite grasp what God is giving to you. How does Satan snatch the word? By making you remember your Amalekite experience. That's why God said to King Saul, you got to kill all the Amalekites. Kill everything that touched an Amalekite, everything that smells like an Amalekite, everything that has seen an Amalekite. Why? Because the Amalekites were the first people to come out and attack the children of God. Your past has your first offenses. In your past is where you were first maligned. In your past is where you were abused. In your past is where you doubted God. That's your Amalekite. And we keep giving breath to our Amalekite. We give him breath. How do we give him breath? Because we lean on our past and we feel sorry for ourselves, and we begin to tell ourselves that we're incapable of getting beyond it. You've been here long enough.
You think that habits and behaviors cannot be changed. No, you just said God was omnipotent. You just said that God was all-powerful. If he is, then he can change those behaviors. In fact, the comfort of Scripture is that only God can change your inside. And here you are, born again Christians, filled with the Holy Ghost. To what end? The Holy Ghost was not given to you for you to speak in tongues and dance. He was given to purge you of all the things that keep you from being dynamic, energetic, visionary, and comfortable in your walk with God. But unless you get rid of these, he will come immediately and snatch the word out of your heart. And then Jesus goes on and he talks about the stony ground. And when the word comes into those with stony ground, these are the people whose hearts are filled with bitterness. You have the rock of bitterness, the stone of unforgiveness. Even the person that may have done you wrong has to be forgiven. Christians will even pontificate their theology and say, well, I hate the devil. I hate the devil. Do you understand that you're not called to hate the devil? Do you understand what hatred is and how it takes energy from your love? You cannot compartmentalize hate and give it to his children, or rather not give it to his children. Hatred of the devil means you're going to hate his children, just like love of God means you're going to love his children. How do you hate a spirit being? Well, I just hate the devil. How? You don't see him. And if he did manifest, you'd run. So you have to hate his kids. Just like God said, you can't love me if you don't love my kids. If you don't love your neighbor, you don't love me. So if there is the antithesis of the teaching, if you hate the devil, then you hate his kids. We'll even make it a little more bougie. We'll say, well, I love you, but I hate your sin. Do you know how to hate sin? No, you don't know how to hate sin. How do you hate sin? I just dislike it. What does that do to you? How do you separate the sin from the person? How do you do it? Only the word of God can separate soul from spirit. How do you do it? How do you separate what a person does from what they are when you don't know their hearts? You don't know their motives. So how can you say, I love you, but I hate your sin? How do you know where sin starts and they begin? How do you know that what they're doing is sin to God? Maybe it's sin to you, because back here you have rationalized sin because it's anything that's offensive to you. And your offenses come from personal experiences. So when someone comes to bring you something that is invigorating, life-giving, changing, that'll make you better in certain areas, you resent it because of what you experienced.
If you believe God for a miracle and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
For a copy of this message in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number
2118P.
Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $14, which includes shipping and handling. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60, Sundays at 7:30 p.m. and Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. Join us at 2929 West Sheltenham Avenue in Wincote, Pennsylvania. Services are held at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 o'clock p.m. Live streaming of our services takes place Sundays at 8:15 a.m. and 12:15 p.m. Prayer and Bible study are held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us at BethelDeliverance.org or download the Bethel Deliverance app at the Apple Store or Google Play. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.